Welcome to evening service. I got to visiting and almost forgot service was going to start. So before long, I'd looked up here and Lynn would have been up here preaching, and I would have definitely had to answer the altar call. Looks like Don forgot worship was happening too. So we may need to get another round of coffee for everybody, Pastor. Well, this morning's service was wonderful. And I'm excited about continuing to hear more of what was laid on Lynn's heart. And I know that we're going to be challenged. Did you come tonight ready to be challenged? Receptive? All right, let's stand up. We're going to go to prayer and just ask the Lord to open our hearts tonight. Lord, have our hearts be open. And Lord, as you see our open hearts, would you just begin to pour into it? Lord, may we lift up our voices to worship you. May we lift up our minds, Lord, to just receive and understand what you're going to impart to us tonight. And Lord, may we be receptive of you moving in our lives. Lord, a new move, a new touch. Lord, just a fresh anointing. And Lord, we praise you and thank you that your presence is already in this place. Lord, we're going to meet you here, and we're never going to be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
All right, well, let's worship the Lord together. Amen. Time to sing unto the Lord. Amen. We will sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout. Glory to your name. worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we'd live for you. You're the name above every other name. Oh, Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. We sing, Jesus, our Savior.
Yes, oh Lord, yes, we believe. Yes, we believe. Yes, we believe. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be your name, Lord. Oh Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace, for your help, for your healing, for salvation, for encouragement, for help in the time of trouble, for victory. Lord, we've lived in the goodness of God. We thank you. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Sing that part again. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I have lived, sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so through the fire and darkest night, you are close like no other. Oh, I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Oh, of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your help. We pray that you would touch a little third grader named Vivian tonight, who's in ICU, a student where Sandra Caldwell teaches. We pray that you would just lay your hand on this little third grader right now, and that you would minister to her and heal her body right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, touch Vivian. And another teacher at that school, Sky, we pray that you continue to touch her and heal her and help her deliver this baby in a healthy way, Lord. And then as she has this brain tumor, Lord, we just pray that you would grant success to the surgery following the delivery of her baby. Lord, just raise her up for your glory. Continue to be with Ansel, Lord, in the hospital. Touch him, Lord, we pray. Continue to minister to the Green family, we pray. God, we love you tonight, and we thank you, and we praise you. We rejoice in what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. Continue to touch those who are under the weather today. Minister to them. We give you all the praise and the glory. And everybody said, amen, amen. You may be seated. It's good to see everyone here tonight. For ushers would come, unless otherwise designated tonight, the offering is going to go to our evangelist. And if you didn't get a chance to give this morning, we just want to take care of our evangelist. You know, he can't travel for nothing. I mean, he could. But, you know, it wouldn't be a very easy road. So we want to take good care of our speaker. And, you know, the Bible promises that we are blessed when we take care of God's anointed and leaders. And so thank you in giving. And so, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the offering tonight. We just pray, God, that you would use it to further the ministry of Lynn and Diana Wheeler, Lord, and their work in Costa Rica and their services across the country in bringing the message that you've put on his heart for the hour in which we live. Bless the offering, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m., will be our service, last service with Lynn, our Winter Awakening service. Did you enjoy the service this morning? Man, what a powerful message. Amen. And just a great response, people coming down to be prayed for and to help get the help they need from the Lord. As Lynn said, Jesus is the healer. He's the healer. We just have to look to him, but I am thankful for those of us in the body that get to be his hands extended. I'm thankful for the ministers and leaders and pastors and evangelists that God calls to do the job they do. And what a wonderful, wonderful choice God made when he laid his hand on the Wheelers to come and be his spokesperson. So let's give it up for Lynn and Diana tonight. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you, church. Thanks for being back in the house of God on Sunday night. God bless you for that. Boy, wasn't God good to us this morning. Praise God. Just a beautiful time in his presence, as our pastor mentioned. And I know you don't every Sunday night. This is not a norm every single week. But I appreciate your faithfulness to the house of God and pray that God will honor you just for being here tonight. And again, it's our honor to be a part of this Winter Awakening and just believing the best days are ahead of this church and not behind you, in Jesus' name. We believe that. Praise God. Amen. I typically have a line that I use on Sunday morning. I forgot to use it this morning. Let me use it tonight, okay? Church, I'm going to do my best to have you out of here by 12 o'clock. How many lift your hand and say, Lynn, I will be gone by 12 o'clock? Would you just, okay, I wanted 100% on something, and I finally got it. Look at that. Everybody raised their hand on that one. Amen. Thank you. Those of you that came by, got T-shirts, helped us with our missions, we still have those materials out there. Avail yourself to those as needed. Let me remind you, tomorrow night is Miracle Monday night, in Jesus' name. We're going to pray for the sick tomorrow night. And I'm expecting, would you believe with me, that the sick will be healed in this house tomorrow night. I'm expecting for signs, wonders, and miracles to manifest in this place. That's not a cliche from a preacher, folks. I'm believing it. I'm believing God's going to do it. And so let's trust and pray all day tomorrow. I know many of you have busy days, and myself and some of your church staff are going to be at Tom Green's service, so it's going to be a very busy day, but we're going to honor God at the end of it, and I'm believing for the supernatural. I just want you to know my faith is strong regarding tomorrow night's service, and I'm believing for it, and I just need one person, according to the Bible, to agree with me. In Jesus' name, signs, wonders, and miracles are going to manifest. Praise God. Praise God. Thorns and thistles was the message this morning. Another message that God gave me as a result of the vision that I shared with you this morning. I'm going to preach tonight. I call it the test of transition. The test of transition. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and turn to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, please. 1 Kings chapter 19. Why don't you stand as we honor the reading of God's word tonight? 1 Kings chapter 19. Verses 7 through 9 will be the text. I am going to ask you to leave your Bible open because we're going to go on from chapter 17 into chapter 18 and into chapter 19 as well. Don't get nervous. That sounds like a long time, but we're going to get it in a reasonable amount of time. You're welcome. But our text, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 7 through 9. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him, speaking of Elijah, and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. Let me ask you this, church, just real quick. Have you ever watched a movie or something, and when that movie popped on, it actually started with the very end of the movie, and then it kind of rewound and went back and told you the story about how it got to that particular point? Well, that's how I'm going to preach tonight. Right there's the end of the story, but we're going to go back and see how Elijah got to this point. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for precious people that have come to the house of God tonight to hear from you. I pray the anointing will fill the room. I pray that my words will be your words. And I pray for a life-changing encounter with you upon every man, woman, and student under the sound of my voice tonight. Thank you in advance, Lord, for a divine visitation in this house. We trust in you and believe in you. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, hey, before you're seated, shake hands with somebody. Just tell them, hey, you look better tonight than you did this morning, would you? Hey, yeah, you look better. Amen. Amen. Good, good. Please be seated. Nobody looks that good, folks. We got carried away, didn't we, huh? Yeah, amen. Again, thank you for being in the house of God. Note takers tonight, I'm going to title the message, The Test of Transition. The truth of the matter is nobody likes a test. Whether you're taking a test in school, you're taking a test on the job, we don't like a test. It's been a long time since I've been in school, but I do remember one thing that I hated and despised more than a test, and that was a pop quiz. Those are other devil. There's some teachers in this room, man. I'm telling you, you know why? I think the teachers just wanted to make sure we were listening, and I never was. Don't look at me, holy, huh? Don't look at me. So I disliked pop quizzes, and tests always made me nervous. We just don't like a test, all right? Back when I was a younger evangelist, a lot of times I would go around and I would speak at youth camps and youth rallies and even some high school assemblies. And I would always, when talking to students, I would share this little thing. I'm going to share it with you tonight because the room is basically full of young people. Amen. If y'all don't amen that, I got nothing. I'm trying to help you here, all right? It's just full of young people. Just a little humorous prayer that I would just always quote. The students always loved it. The teachers not so much. But anyway, we're talking about taking a test. I used to share this all the time. It goes like this. Now I lay me down to study. I pray to the Lord that I don't go nutty. After I've learned all this junk, I pray to the Lord that I don't flunk. Now lay me down to rest, thinking of tomorrow's test. If I should flunk instead of pass, I'm going to pray the same for the rest of the class. Amen. When I die, don't bury me at all. Just put my bones in the study hall, lay my books on my chest, and tell my teacher I did my best. Amen. That's all I got. Teachers didn't love it so much. Students, they always got with me, and that's who I was there for. Anyway, we don't like a test. And you know, another thing that we really don't love in our lives is transition. Because transition removes us from our comfort zone. It's taking us out of what we're comfortable with and moving us to a different place, location, whatever. So we really don't love transition. Please consider this, though, friends. God appoints transition in our lives at times so we don't lose our sense of purpose. So transition has a purpose. I'd like for you to think just a moment with me. Now, maybe none of us can relate to your particular house, but I want you to think about your house right now, and in particular, the inside of your house. I'd like for you to think about your hallway. The hallway is a place of transition in your home. It's not a place we end up at. It's a place we go through to get to somewhere else. Nobody ever said, hey, y'all come to the hallway, we gonna eat. That's not the final place. Hey, y'all meet me in the hallway, we gonna watch a movie. We don't do that. The hallway transitions us from one place in our home to another place. It has a purpose. We can't disregard it. We couldn't transition from one room to another without it, but it's not the final place. Y'all get ready to shout. God is constantly transitioning us to a higher level with Him. He wants to take you deeper. He wants you to grow. So transition, even spiritually, is often a part of our lives. So we've agreed we don't like tests. We don't like transition. I'm preaching on the test of transition. I'm probably not going to preach very good tonight. It's a test. It's a test. Here's what I want to do tonight. Let me just warn you right up front. We're going to move in and out for the next few moments. We're going to move in and out of teaching mode. How many of you know teaching is not time to fall asleep on the preacher? I went from 3 to 5 people, but there's more than 5 people in the house. Lift your hand if you'll keep your neighbor awake tonight. Come on, would you do that? Throw something at them, punch them, whatever. I think it's very important because what we're going to do together as we walk through Scripture is we're going to walk through a time of transition in Elijah's life. It's very important, so we're going to use a lot of Scripture here. You can follow with me if you want. Okay, so basically, the first place I want to take you, everybody shout, here we go. Here we go. 1 Kings 17:6, you may remember that Elijah was fed by the ravens. Now stay with me. 1 Kings 17:9, remember this is the story of the widow of Zarephath. God said, go there, the widow's going to take care of you. So Elijah has received manna or food from the ravens, and he's got somebody to take care of him too. How many know life's pretty good for him right now, huh? That's pretty good. Then we go to 1 Kings 17 and verse 15, and I want to read this. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. So now we see Elijah living in a time of provision, supernatural provision for him. Would you just wave at me right now if God's ever provided for you, huh? Isn't he good? He's good. So now Elijah is living in supernatural provision. Because of obedience, Elijah had everything he needed, food for every day, and so did the widow and her family. Now we're about to break out in real revival. 1 Kings 17, verses 19 through 22. What's this? "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him in her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Verse 21, "Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times, cried out to the Lord, 'Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him.'" Verse 22, "The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived." Dead boy took him up, prayed over him. How many know it's revival when God starts resurrecting the dead, friend? Now that... Man, what a season Elijah's in. Isn't this awesome? I mean, provisions coming to him, fed by the ravens, and now he's praying for the dead and they're being raised. Man, it is revival in Elijah's life. But wait, there's more. I sound like a late night television commercial, don't I? But wait. But when we transition to chapter 18, 1 Kings 18, 1 through 15. Elijah prophesied a drought would end, and it happened. Now, friends, God's using him. Hang with me just a few more moments as we're walking through this great time in Elijah's life, all right? He prophesied, drought's going to end, and it did. And then the famous showdown on Mount Carmel, that's what I like to call it. You can find it in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 16 through 40. Basically, it's a showdown on Mount Carmel with 450 prophets of Baal. God showed up big, silenced his enemy, and all by himself, Elijah defeated the 450 prophets of Baal. Man, now let's go over this again, all right? The ravens have fed him. He's having his personal needs provided for. He's laid hands and prayed over somebody that's dead, and they were raised. Now 450 prophets of Baal are defeated on Mount Carmel. This is a good season for Elijah. Lift your hand if you agree with me. Huh? I'm not asking you if I'm preaching good. We just got to come in agreement right there, right? This is a good season for him. Wow. Come on. Who likes good seasons with God? Huh? Oh, don't we love it, man? We love it when all these things are happening. When we're having personal revival, when our church is having corporate revival, when God's providing for us signs, wonders, and miracles. Y'all gonna have to calm down now. Huh? This is a good season. Man, what? But here comes the transition. Come on, everybody shout, uh-oh. Here comes the test. We get to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. Elijah's had an encounter with a woman named Jezebel. I just feel like saying, uh-oh again. Huh? Man, have we been in a good season? Whoa, my goodness. We saw the dead raised. 450 prophets of Baal. Man, I had a need God provided, and now there's this woman. Her name is Jezebel. Friends of Noble Assembly, can I just tell you? I've always thought when I read this story, that had to be a mean woman right there. I mean, He took down 450 prophets of Baal all by himself. Now he's running from one woman. That had to be scary. She had to be a mean woman. Please don't look around the church. Look up here while I'm preaching. Huh? Y'all, that had to be mean. All of these supernatural revival type miracles in his life, and now he's on the run. Here comes the test. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, he sets down under the tree and prays to die. Now, y'all gonna have to help me up in here for a minute. What? He just laid hands on a dead person and they got raised from the dead. He got provided for supernaturally. He wiped out 450 prophets of Baal, and now he's praying to die? Something's up. That's some kind of thorn and thistle that's really gotten in. But it shows, watch this, how quick we can go from the mountaintop to the valley. And every man, woman, and student in this place tonight knows one thing, one phone call, one diagnosis from the doctor, one moment of being to serve divorce papers, one thing, one incident can take us from there to there real quick. Am I preaching the truth? Man, he's been on a revival mountaintop. God has been using him, and now he's sitting under a tree praying to die. Praying to die. I never do this, but note takers, I want you to write this down if you're a note taker. Here's what I want you to know about Elijah in this. I'm going to teach this to you. Don't ever forget this. God never mistakes the man for the moment. God never mistakes the man for the moment. Elijah was a man of God. God was using Elijah. Am I preaching the truth? We just ran through everything, and now he's sitting under a tree praying to die. That's just a moment. That's not the man. That's just a test. That's not the man. I got to ask up in here because I'm preaching to Lynn Wheeler right now. How many ever had those moments? Anybody but me ever say something to God you wish you never said? Did you ever say, hey, I'm done, I'm finished, it's over, I can't handle it anymore? Isn't it great to know God never mistakes the man for the moment? We can say it, but God's looking at our heart. And we've all had those seasons in our life where we've been under that tree. We feel like we just want to die. It's just a test, ladies and gentlemen. God never mistakes the man for the moment. So Elijah's up under that tree. And the Bible said in verses 5 through 9 that he laid down under the bush and fell asleep. I don't blame him. All at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. Hallelujah. No truer words have ever been spoken. Get up and eat. He looked around. There by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then he laid down again. Sounds like a preacher only got up to eat. Now he's right back down, huh? Huh? All of a sudden, he's there, he's praying to die. Don't forget the seasons of miracles that he's just been through. Now he's under a bush. He's so exhausted mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He can't take another step. Hear me tonight, church. He cannot go on. He finds a tree, prays to die, and he's so wiped out, he just falls asleep. An angel shows up and says, wake up. Man, here is some bread. Now, when you say that to us in the modern day, man, my mind goes to Olive Garden. Hallelujah. You ever been to those restaurants with that hot, fresh bread? Man, they bring that out. The butter just has to look at it and melts. Doesn't even have to touch it. So I'm thinking, here's Elijah. He wakes up, and I just got a feeling there's some Olive Garden or something. It's my, some of y'all going, is that NIV? I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. He ate and went back to sleep. Then Scripture said a second time, the angel came, woke him up. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, I want you to catch those words. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. There's something that happened in the second visitation from the angel that I can't just move past. I have to share with you. Please notice, when the angel came back the second time, he said these words at the end of verse 7. You need to get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. You don't have the strength to make it where I'm taking you. So you need to eat a second time. He didn't say that in the first encounter, but he said it in the second encounter. May I say from my heart to yours, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have the strength for this journey. We need to constantly be feasting on the Word of God in times of coming together for events like winter awakening. We've got too many thorns and thistles. We've got too many hurts and heartaches. We've got too hard of a road to go. We've got to feast on the manna from heaven because the journey is too great. We're not going to get to where God wants us to go until we get up and feast. Can my challenge be to you? Can I challenge you? Don't you neglect the Word of God during these times. You be in the house of God every time the doors are open because the journey is hard. I'm preaching the truth, right? It is difficult, and I need physical nourishment from heaven just to make it through. Do it, God. Do it, God. He said, the journey's too much for you. I'm taking you somewhere. Now, Scripture went on to say that that second meal fueled him so much, he was able to walk 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I'm just telling you, it's going to take quite a meal for me to do that. That's a long journey. 40 days and 40 nights. Remember, I started this message with the revival that Elijah was living in. But we're walking through several verses here that's a test. Some of you have been under that tree. Some of you may be under that tree tonight. But I'm going to tell you, with everything that is within me tonight, don't you dare stay there. You get up from that tree. God's taking you someplace. If you've got a rest, you go ahead. But I'm going to tell you, you got to get up and go again. It's hard. It's difficult. We're wounded. We're bleeding out. But God is taking us somewhere, friend. This is just a test underneath that tree. We've been in a spirit of revival. We would love to stay on Mount Carmel. Wouldn't that be awesome? If every church service was a blowout. If every sermon was awesome, if every song ushered us into the heavens, if every time we came together somebody got saved or healed, that would be awesome. But sometimes there's a test, because God's not going to leave you in the same place. He's transitioning you to somewhere else. Finally, Elijah got to the place, Mount Horeb. And when he made it to where God wanted him to go, he went into the cave. I'm going to pause and I'm going to say to you right now, don't miss this. Isolation is a devil's playground. Devil wants you in a cave all by yourself, where you got no support, you know, you got nobody speaking into your life. And the enemy's using it to mess with the minds of God's people today. Isolation's a devil's playground. Some of you need to come up out of that cave. You know, Elijah went in the cave and the angel went in after him. Verse 9, then the Lord came and asked him, what are you doing in here? It's about to get fun in this sermon right now. Because all Elijah did was complain. Complained. After defeating 400 prophets of Baal, laying hands on some dead child, and they're raised from the dead. After seeing the constant provision that God brought to him, he knew that God was working, but all he's doing now is complaining. Don't miss this. When you complain, you explain your pain for no gain. When you complain, you explain your pain for no gain. You ever been around a complainer? Come on, lift your hand. Don't point, lift your hand. Oh, that's all they do? Makes you not want to be around them? That's all they do? The truth is, they're explaining their pain for no gain. And that's all Elijah is doing as well. We're almost done. Here we get to chapter 19, verse 11. The Lord told him to go stand on the mountain now. Get out of that cave. Get out of that isolation. Because I'm about to reveal to you the purpose for which I brought you here. I could have left you on Mount Carmel, but there's a deeper purpose. I'm taking you to Mount Horeb, and there's a reason. I know you had a bad encounter underneath a tree. I know you prayed to die. But Elijah, get out of that cave, because here's what I've got for you. I want you to go stand on the mountain, verse 11, because the Lord is about to pass by. The Lord came by in the wind, the earthquake, and the fire, but that was not God. But then in verse number 12, there was a gentle whisper, and that was God. And in verse 13, the scripture said that Elijah pulled his cloak up over himself as if to hide himself from the powerful presence of God. You see, friends of Noble Assembly, we'd all love to stay on Mount Carmel, but that's really not life. Sometimes there's a test of transition that we have to go through until we get to Mount Horeb. Do you know why, Noble Assembly, that God is trying to get us to Mount Horeb? Because more than ever before in your spiritual journey, God is just wanting to wrap himself around you. He wants his presence to cover you. He wants a new encounter to bring to you and your life in your spiritual journey. It's not all about the shout and the miracle sometimes. Somebody in this house needs new strength and new energy tonight, but I'm declaring we're going to pass the test and we're going to get to Mount Horeb, ladies and gentlemen, because when we get in his presence, it changes everything. Friends, if we can just get to the place where he's taking us, then signs, wonders, and miracles are going to transpire. God showed up in victory on Mount Carmel. The time of transition, though, is bringing us to Mount Horeb. And tonight, he just wants to wrap himself in every single person in this place. It's like that cloak that Elijah had on. He just wants to cover. Now watch this. After he left Mount Horeb, after that mountain, after that encounter with the presence of God, verses 19 through 21, he connects with Elisha, who's the one that he passed the mantle to. We must pass the mantle to the next generation. You and I have experienced a whole lot of Mount Carmel. We also know what it's like to be under a tree. Then we also know what Mount Horeb's like. We've had those moments of just being in church in the presence of God, just covering us. But can I tell you, Mount Carmel, the test of transition, Mount Horeb's all for a purpose in our life. We got to pass the mantle off to the next generation, because they need to experience the encounters of God that you and I have experienced. All that Elijah's gone through. But if he wouldn't have passed that test under that tree, he would have never got to the place where he experienced the presence of God on that level, and he would have never got to Elisha. I pray you're catching my heart tonight. It's a test. I'm going to pass. How about you? I'm not going to stand to that tree discouraged, disheartened. I'm going to get up because there's purpose and there's a reason. For you note takers, I'm giving you 4 points. Good news is that hasn't all been my introduction. The 4 points is my conclusion. You're welcome again. I just want to give you 4 things that I see that were steps from Mount Carmel to Mount Horeb. 4 things that I see. I want to implement them in our lives, and then we're going to pray together. Number one, Elijah made that transition only because of personal nourishment from heaven. The angel said, the journey's too great, man. You're not going to make it. But he ate the bread, drank the water, and he made it. Second thing I noticed, the test that he passed was he had to be completely honest with God. The third thing was he had to be willing to wait. Remember when he got to Horeb, God wasn't in the wind, God wasn't in the fire, God wasn't in the earthquake. But then he was in the still small voice. Fourth and final thing, he had to pass the test to get to the next level. Would you just lift your hand, tell God right now, I'm passing the test. Would you just do that right now? I'm passing the test, God. I'm gonna do this. In the time of transition, may we go back to the reason we passed the test, and that's just to wrap ourselves in his presence. Tonight, I'm just praying that we can leave this place after wrapping ourselves in his presence. Transition hurts. Transition's painful. It involves discouragement, confusion, and even depression. Brother Don, you can come on. Thank you, my friend. May God help us all pass the test tonight. Thorns and thistles are painful. They manifest under that tree. But I'm not staying there. I'm not staying there. Say that out loud. I'm not staying there. I'm not staying under that tree. I may have been discouraged and even said some things I didn't mean, but I'm still getting up because he's taken me to a bigger place. Father, thank you for not giving up on us. During those times when we're sitting under the tree, thank you, Lord, for not taking to heart every word that's come out of our mouths. I thank you, Lord, that you don't mistake the man for the moment. Lord, it's a season of winter awakening here at Noble Assembly. Thank you for the times on Mount Carmel. Lord, that even right now, these precious people may be reflecting on past services or past revivals or past encounters with God, where the supernatural was there. But then when we left, we got under a tree. We went through a season of discouragement. Thorns and thistles pierced us from every direction. Lord, would you give us nourishment tonight? We want to pass the test and get to Mount Horeb so we can enjoy your presence like never before. Would you stand with me, please, all over the church, heads bowed, eyes closed, if you don't mind. I'm prompted to pray for this group of people tonight. Because I sense even when I'm preaching tonight that there are those among us that are weary from the journey. And I'm asking the angel to stop by and give you a little nourishment before you leave this place. Can I just be real with you, friend? The journey's too much for us. It's too hard. Without the Lord, we're not going to make it. It's difficult. And I know that many of you have been in a battle relating to my vision that I had this morning. You may have the armor of God on, but you're bleeding underneath it. It's been hard. You're exhausted mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You got life stuff, life events, or people surrounding you that are draining you. The journey's too much for you. But would you permit me an opportunity to join my faith with you? Pastor Steve, Pastor Phil, we're going to agree with you tonight that new strength, new energy for this journey is going to... Who am I talking to? Just let me know. Lift your hand right now. Say, man, I'm weary, Lynn. I mean, it's exhausting. I've just got so much. See, I find myself under that tree tonight. You may have been in church for 50 or 60 years, but you know the battle's intense right now. It's a test. It's just a test, friend. We're going to make it to Mount Horeb and wrap ourselves in it. His presence tonight. If you raised your hand, would you make your way to the front of this church, please? You'll not be alone. There were 12 or 15 people that lifted their hand. I'm just weary. I'm just exhausted. I just need the Lord to bring a new refreshing to me tonight. Would you guys come in? Come on over this way if you don't mind. Come on in here, please. Amen. I'm just exhausted, man. I'm just weary from the journey. I mean, life's hitting you hard. It's just a test. Just a test. Those of you that came down, would you look this way, please, and just hear my heart so emphatically. Don't stay under that tree. The angel's about to provide for you some strength and some nourishment. God's taking you someplace. You don't even have any idea what he's got in store for you, but don't you stay under that tree. There's something supernatural that's ahead. Once again, I'm going to ask again, I just like the whole church to get involved. Would you guys come? Some of you ladies, pray with these ladies. Maybe some of you men, pray with these men. Let's just make it a big prayer meeting up here. We've got a lot of people that are hurting. Thank you. Thank you. Just get up here and lay your hands on Pastor Phil and Pastor Steve. We're going to move through and lay hands on this side. But come on, let's turn this place into a place of prayer right now. Come on, we're not staying under the bush in Jesus' name.
Oh,
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm prompted by the Holy Spirit. I want to do something right now. I just feel led right now to pray for your friends and your family that are not in this service tonight. And maybe they're exhausted. Maybe they're not even serving God. But just because they aren't here doesn't mean we can't lift them up to Jesus tonight. And I just feel like we ought to do that. If you've got a friend or a family member that just needs a refreshing and a strength, they may even live a long way off. Come on, just lift your hands and begin to call out their name. Say it. Speak it. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray this move of the presence of God, this refreshing, this revival, will stretch beyond the four walls of this church right now. Lord, I pray it will go to lost husbands, lost wives, lost children, lost parents, and you'll bring them home in the name of Jesus. Thank you for new strength and new energy. Thank you that dry bones are coming to life in this house in Jesus' name. Thank you that revival fires are falling, God. You're igniting again what you showed us on Mount Carmel. And not for us only, but for those that are extended from our life, in our family and in our friends. May they experience revival as well. Do it, God. Do it, God. Do it, God, for every generation. For every generation. Sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're struggling with depression or worry right now. Lay your own hand on your head. You're under that tree. Maybe you're exhausted because you're depressed or you're just constantly. Father, for the many people in this service right now, laying their own hand on their head right now. Lord, I come against that depression. I come against that grip of worry in their lives. On the authority of the Word of God, I command that the enemy loosen that grip right now. Stir us in our emotions. Stir us in our mental health, God. Give us a revival in our mind that will help us get up and move on from that tree where we said things to God that we didn't even mean. Thank you, Lord, for healing in our minds right now, that worry is canceled, that we're going to sleep better than we've slept in months. Thank you, Lord, that victory is taking place and you're giving us strength for the journey in Jesus' name. In Jesus'
name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Through it all, through it all. Trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Oh, through it all, through it all. Oh, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Well, I'm thankful for the mountains, and I'm thankful for the valleys, and I'm thankful for the storms. Trust in God through it all, through it all. Oh, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Do that verse one more time. I'm thankful, yes, I'm thankful for the mountains, and I'm thankful for the valleys, and I'm thankful for the storms He's brought me through. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do.
trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all. Oh, through it all. Oh, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Yes, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Oh, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Give the Lord praise tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that You're going to take us through. Hallelujah. I'm never going to walk in my hallway and think about it the same way again. I walk into a hall. Remember, that's just a transition place. It's so good to have everyone here tonight. We have a special guest pastor with us tonight. Brian Foreman's a pastor at Assembly of God Church in Kanawha. Brother Brian, could I get you to dismiss us in prayer tonight? We hope to see everybody back tomorrow night at 7.
Heavenly Father, we love You. Lord, I'm thankful for Your presence that I feel in Your house, Lord. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit is calling us to more, who's bringing us out from under that tree into higher places. Holy Spirit, I pray that tonight as Your children leave Your house, that Your presence would abide. Father, that Your manifest presence would come. And Lord, that as we go into our lives, that we would become a flame. Lord, that we would become a light that carries the gospel of Jesus Christ, that cries out to a lost and dying world about the worthy Lamb that was slain. Lord, make us bold to carry this message. Make us bold to carry Your light, and we will be faithful to give You all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.